Don't flip the script over here now. But you ought to come decent and in order. Whether it's pants or dress, it ought to be decent and in order. But you see people that, hope I ain't talking about nobody, but you see people that at Walmart, my favorite store, and look like they got their pajamas.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen. This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
We've been talking about love, all of the effects of love, the power of love, etc., especially as it relates to the household of faith, especially as it relates to the believers, to those who are gifted and those who are anointed, and how they handle one another in the faith and in the body of Christ, how there is so much division, so many schisms and so many cliques and so many things that again are different for the body of Christ that should not be. Those are worldly attributes and activities that church folk have seen to somehow adopt and bring into the fellowship. And Jesus has taught on love and about men not being able to recognize who they were except they showed love one to another. These were men who had been taught that there was a new commandment, that you love one another as I have even as I have loved you. And there is a similarity of issues going on even within the confines of the early Christian church. And Jesus had to deal with those who were the Pharisees and the Essenes and others of his day. He had to deal with people even in their own group fighting for position and notoriety and all of this, trying to be number one and closest to him, and all of these other issues because love is obviously missing. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us, which means that we had no idea how to love till the Lord showed us love. We had no idea how to show mercy till God showed us mercy. We have no idea how to show grace until God showed us grace. And all of these things we've been shown in order that we might show, especially those who are of the household of faith. And yet in the church, you have more issues many times with believers not being able to show one another the kind of love that the Lord Jesus wants us to demonstrate. We talk about one another. We talk about rather than talk to one another. We tear one another down. We judge one another. Listen, we have never been called to be judges of one another. However, we have been called to be fruit inspectors. And fruit inspectors simply look at an apple and say, obviously, this has come from an apple tree. You're not judging, you are inspecting fruit. You got to know fruit. So you know if it comes from an orange tree that it didn't fall from this apple tree. Somebody transported it there. And so the difference is that we've got to learn how to accept folk for what they are and where they are, and through the love of God, transform them by the love that is within us to make a difference in folk lives. Now Jesus deals with this issue. Listen, 17th chapter, verse 1. Listen again. Read what it says.
Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Mm-hmm. But woe unto him through whom they come.
All right, listen at this, because I need you to see this. Jesus is saying, you in this world have got to have tough skin. You have got to learn how not to fold every time somebody says something that hurts your feelings. You've got to learn you can't cry every time somebody says something that you don't like or somebody says something that offends you. You can't live in this world as a light for the Lord Jesus Christ and not expect that darkness is not going to try and comprehend your light. That's darkness' job, to try and comprehend the light, but it's up to you to keep the light shining. Now listen at this, because he's saying, listen, it's impossible. Now he's talking about to the saved and to the sanctified and to those who are filled with the Holy Ghost. It's impossible to live in this world and not be offended. You're going to be offended by some things, by some people, by some folk, and yes, even by some Christians. It's going to happen. But you got to learn how to have skin tough enough where you don't retaliate, where you don't go back and give an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, or where you then become so caught up in yourself that you then become self-righteous and you become filled with indignation and try to do them more harm. That's not your job. Listen to what the word says. It's impossible, but that offenses will come. But here, this is not where I want you to stop at, but I want you to move farther and listen at this. But woe unto them through whom they come. The problem is that the people who offend you don't realize that they're offending somebody bigger than you. That the people who offend you don't realize that they are offending your God. That the people who offend you don't recognize that there is someone who sits up high but looks down low. His ear and his eye are in every place, and he is noting everything that's going on. You ain't got to tell him nothing. He sees it all. He hears your conversations. He hears your plots, your plans, your tweets, and everything else you do. He sees it, he knows it, and he's not happy if any offense comes from you to one who belongs to him. He said in his word, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now listen at this. Why do we feel we have to have a vengeful spirit where we got to get back on folk, get even with folk? Don't you realize if you get even with them, if they're down, you got to get down with them? If they get dirty, you got to get dirty with them? When you're talking about getting even with them, that means just that. You've got to find yourself in the same predicament or place that they are in. God says, no. The problem is that those folks, saved or unsaved, don't realize that they're fighting against your God. Not you. They see you, but they don't see your power. They see you, but they don't see who's behind you. They see you, but they don't see who's in you. They see you, but they don't see who's above you. They see you, but they don't see who's under you. They don't see your strength and your source. And what they don't know is you're not by yourself. Don't care how meek and humble you may appear to be by yourself. And so, my brothers and sisters, the problem is that the believers are using tactics like the world. But what they forget is that God has the last word. God has the last word. That's why you ain't got to fight your enemy. You ain't got to fuss with your enemy. You ain't got to cuss your enemy out. You ain't got to get back on your enemy, get over on your enemy, get even with your enemy. You just tell your enemy, I'm going to put you in the hands of the Lord. And that's just the servant warning. You ain't really got to say that. Because God's going to do his thing anyway. And look at verse 2. He goes on to say, listen.
It were better for him.
Mm-hmm.
That a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones.
All right. Now, for the person that offends the believer, the child of God, Jesus said this now. Now, many of us don't know what millstones are. I had the privilege of going to the Holy Land, of course, and there is a big vat where they put olives in this big trench, and in some places they march on them, they stomp on them like they do grapes. Other places they use millstones, which are big old circular millstones are big old concrete circular apparatuses that roll around in that vat. There is a stick that they push from the middle out to the end, and all it does is go around in circles, crushing every turn more and more whatever it touches. Every time that millstone touches the olive, or touches the grape, or touch whatever it's crushing, it makes it finer and finer and finer. And so it is a heavy, heavy, heavy boulder that's been chiseled out into a circumference that makes it roll easier, and of course that it would do the job that very few folk need to operate it. But here's what Jesus says. He says, if somebody offends one of his little ones, and I'm going to get to that in a moment, he says it would be better that you take a millstone that probably weighs thousands of pounds and hang it around your neck like a big chain. Well, first of all, the millstone is larger than you are. So it's going to look funny hanging around your neck. I just want to throw that out parenthetically. But the point is that it would be fastened to your neck and then fastened to the millstone, put in the hole of the millstone like a chain, and then dropped into the sea. And you would have to be Houdini to try and get out of that lock to free yourself in order to not die. But you would sink at such a fast and alarming rate that your lungs would swell because of the water intake, because of the pressure. When they drop that millstone in the water, you would immediately go down so fast, just the pressure of the water going up your nose would immediately kill you. So there is no way you could survive. He said, listen at this, it would be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and dropped in the sea than for you to offend one of these little ones. Now listen at this. Now, the next time you get ready to say something that ain't right about a brother or a sister, especially of the household of faith who belong to the Lord, you better think about that. You better think about the grace that we're under at this moment, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to remove you from the judgment of God. Listen, he says it would be better for that to happen to you, in other words, than for him to put his hands on you for messing with one of his children. One of his little ones, it has a twofold meaning. One, it does mean children. It does mean the little ones who are without any guidance, without any supervision, without any protection. It does mean that. But the deeper meaning of that means those who have a humble spirit, those who are children of the Most High God, those who love the Lord and who are humble in their spirit and do not fight back and do not act like you. And when you do them wrong, they don't turn around and do you that back. He calls them little ones in the sense of meek ones. Meek ones. So one of the things that you got to see is that the Lord calls men and women little ones because he uses it as a term of endearment to say they're like little children to me. They're precious. They could fight back, but they choose not to fight back. They trust that I will handle the situation. And my brothers and sisters, when you trust God to handle your situation, when you've been misused and when you've been abused, somebody in the house ought to be a witness to know that God will take care of you. The songwriter had it right when it says, be not dismayed. Whatever betides, God will take care of you. He will. He will. And what you've got to learn how to do is to walk in faith, walk in love, put all of your troubles, trials, tribulations, situations in the hand of God and be the example He wants you to be. Let me ask this and I'm closing. What do we gain from hurting one another? I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. Listen, it's important to realize that's the way we have got to live with one another, because all the enemy is doing is using us against us to hurt us, and he walks away scot-free. So may I say to you, my brother, my sister, trust God. Love your neighbor, your brother, your sister in Christ. Let perfect love rest in you. Love without fear, and love that God himself honors. Love without torment. Some of us are so afraid to love that they think somebody's going to get over on us for being loving. But you know what, my brothers and sisters? Compared to those who don't love, I think Dr. Martin Luther King said it best. I've decided to love because hate is too great a burden to bear. And when you know that, you make the choice not to walk in the kind of lifestyle that tears down one another, that hurts one another, that hinders one another, that rips one another's reputation apart, that make one another look like we belong to another God other than the God we say we belong to. That we become the kind of witnesses where the world wants to get to know our God. God bless you today. I felt led to introduce the message in this moment because the enemy always wants to take away what God is trying to say to the people of God and weaken it and water it down. And sometimes when you push it too far in the back of a worship service or a Sunday morning service, too much goes on and people are worn out by the time it's time to hear the message, and quite frankly, they don't even hear it. So the Spirit of the Lord told me to put it up front. Give it to them fresh. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, God loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you with a love so pure. A love that's able to bring deliverance, to bring healing, blessings. But you've got to come and say, Lord, I hear and I heed what you said. Come into my heart. Take the hatred, take the meanness. take the stoniness from my heart. I've done it my way, and it's not the way. It's no joy, it's no peace, it's no happiness. I'm always negative, and I'm always filled with disappointment and disillusionment. I want what you want for me. I want your best in my life. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Your spirit man needs rest. Some of you are so filled with anxiety right now. You walk around at the point of look like if you stick a pin in your burst. Ready to drop a tear at a moment's notice because you're so full. There's a release that needs to be had. And only the Lord can fix that. Sometimes we hold on to too much stuff we ought to let go. Sometimes we hold on to too much hurt and too much pain and too much disappointment and too many people who've done us wrong, and all of that bitterness that's like a cancer on the inside of us. We've got to let it go and say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. And if you're here today and the Lord is speaking by his Spirit and calling you to come, would you get up right now and say, Lord, I come. I want your way. I want the better way. I want you to do in me what you desire to do in me. I want you to show me the way. I'm looking, Lord. I'm listening, Lord. And if he's calling you, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Because the church is praying for you right now. If I were you, I would not leave this church the same way I came. Bound, oppressed, afflicted. I would come to the Lord just as I am and say, Lord, I don't want to leave here carrying these burdens. Not another week, not another day, not another hour, but I want to come now and give them to you. Is there one? Is there one? Don't sell yourself short. There is a king in you. Don't sell yourself short. The greater one lives on the inside of you.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria.